Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 340. As this week, we bring you the first hour of the WWF Royal Rumble 1993. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I am joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim had a whole slew of doctor's appointments today. His voice is still not up to 100%. So, fortunately, we have our good friend John Poppy is back to fill in for Jim. Those of you who listen to stuff on the Creative Control Network may remember John, one half of the two-man power trip, for his podcast Taskmaster Talks, which he does every week with Kevin Sullivan. John, are you ready to hop in the Wayback Machine, return to 1993, and watch the Rockers explode?
Oh, yes. Very, very ready. And thank you for having me on yet again. Third time on the show, so thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, John. It's been a pleasure. Okay, so we had our vote at the end of last week's show, and our guest host, Bob Cook, decided the 93 Rumble, since he hadn't seen it in a while, would be a good one to watch. And America agreed. So we are continuing this run of WWF from the 90s as we head up towards eventually doing our WrestleMania, which will be the next show that we do after we cover this Rumble. And also like to thank you guys, because this week, Way Back Playback bounces around the podcasting charts, but this week we are up on the charts in Canada, Brazil, and the United States. Yes, we're back in the top 300, one of the top 300 leisure podcasts in the United States. I haven't really looked up what the other leisure podcasts are, but I'm sure they're great too. So thank you very much. And of course, Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback is the place you go when you want the entire Wayback Playback archive, all 340 episodes, plus shows up in advance, so you can listen to them before Sunday, hopefully, plus shows without ads on them, plus the occasional bonus material. So go ahead and check that out, Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. Okay, John. It's time for the Royal Rumble, which takes place January 24th, 1993. It's live from the Arco Arena in Sacramento, California, and it is still at this writing only the it's the only Big Four pay per view from the WWF to ever happen in Sactown. 16,000 on hand and 15,000 paid. Now we do this show 1 hour at a time. The third hour of the Rumble. Is the Rumble match, and it's going to take a long time. It's still 2-minute intervals. So as a result, the second hour and the first hour are going to be a little bit shorter. And we are back inside the very tranquil McNeil Command Center. Here we're going to tell you about a very special place, and that place is our patron at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Pat, aren't the shows free? And the answer is yes. Episodes we put out on Sunday are free to the general public. In fact, we have over 150 episodes available for free on our podcast feed. However, if you would like to support the show, and if you would like the entirety of our archives, you can always go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. There, for as little as $4.50 a month, you can get access to all of our shows, including the shows from the first 3.5 years that were behind the paywall previously. You can get access to those. You can get access to our shows in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed. And you can also get the version of our shows that comes without the commercial messages, including this commercial message that you are listening to right now. And yes, this does help support myself and Jim Valley. But you can also support Jim by going to GoFundMe.com/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser and helping Jim and Carrie with the medical bills that they amassed in the 4 months that Jim was in intensive care. That's also helpful. But patreon.com/waybackplayback, you'll get all the episodes. You'll get them. You'll get the new ones ad-free and in advance. And you also get the bonus material, which we put together every couple of weeks. We try to do something special for the nice people in the Black Scorpion tier on Patreon. That's our $10 tier. And you'll get some of that material as time goes on, but the people on the Black Scorpion tier will get it several months in advance of the people on the $4.50 tier. So if you have money burning a hole in your pocket after the reduction in the cost of the WWE Network, and you have, I don't know, 190 spare hours that you don't know what to do with, definitely sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and thank you for listening. So we're going to make up for it now by getting you set up for what's going to happen at the Rumble by taking you back to Raw. Yes, the second episode of Raw is January 18th, 1993. It is on the WWE Network. So take your time. It's a bit of a search, as John and I have discovered. But we want you to hit 31 minutes and 14 seconds, the start of the segment where Randy Savage is still looking for the Repo Man. And I am here, and I'm watching Sean Mooney, who is outside in Manhattan, in the cold, in his jacket, with his microphone. John, are you also there?
I am there. Yes, sir.
Okay. So everybody, little bit of bonus material, but it will explain one of the big subplots going on for this Rumble. And if we could all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. There he is, young Sean Edmund Mooney. Oh, the Macho Man is looking for the Repo Man out in the streets.
You think this was a little bit of a downgrade for the Macho Man at this point?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not used to this. Yeah. Well, he's worn his nicest outfit for the occasion. That's the part I like.
Yeah, you got to be thinking, what is up with that suit? That's just crazy. Well really, the jacket, but it almost...
Have you ever tried to hail a cab in this town? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
It almost seems like those cab drivers would literally run him over and not even give a damn. Typical New York City.
It's New York City, yeah.
Typical.
Okay. Well, that was Raw, folks, as they say. The bad news for Vince McMahon is he is, with Randy Savage outside, he's left alone inside with Rob Bartlett. And by the way, do you want to know what the bad news for Rob Bartlett is?
He knows nothing about the business.
Well, that's the other bad news, yeah. No, Rob is in the ring with, Rob is in the arena with, sitting next to Vince McMahon, and there's Howard Finkel and referee, I want to say Earl Hebner, maybe Dave Hebner, and a ring girl who looks about, what, 16, 17? I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Looks a little young, to be honest.
Yeah, it looks a little young, but, you know.
Yeah.
We're not gonna ask about that. There you go. And there he is, El Matador Tito Santana, for this this evening's featured bout.
What did you think about this gimmick for Tito?
I wasn't crazy about it, but it did keep him around another couple of years, which I think was the point. Yep.
There he is, the man, the goat, the nature boy.
Now the rumors are already starting to circulate that Flair is on his way back to WCW, and that some sort of deal is being worked out between Vince McMahon and Bill Watts, where Flair gets out of his contract early to go back to WCW, and Bill Watts lets Lex Luger out of his contract a little early so that Lex Luger can start at the Royal Rumble. Yes.
Nice. Yes. And the Narcissist will debut, yes.
He's right now Narcissus, but yeah, he would be the Narcissist. And here we go. This is Ric Flair and Tito Santana. They've wrestled before, just not very often. But I mean, you've got the career, you know, the lifer for the WWF and the lifer for NWA World Championship Wrestling.
Tito is a great hand. What did you think about the venue, the Manhattan Center for Raw?
It was right away it established it as different, which at that point was good because WWF was kind of stale. Primetime wrestling, primetime wrestling had been good back in the 80s because you're essentially getting stuff from the Boston Garden one week, stuff from the Spectrum one week, and they're actually making an effort. And for primetime you're getting these whatever throwaway matches from the taping in Utica So I thought it made it a little more vibrant.
Did you think it came off as like a little bit of small time? You know what I mean? Like the actual venue itself isn't very big. Do you think it made it look a little bit small at times, or you think that was okay because it's just so different?
It's New York City, as they point out every 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, you're in New York City, half the weeks you're live. I think it was a, you know, business was down, so it was a calculated risk. And I think it you know, I think the first few weeks of Raw got everybody's attention. You had the first episode, you had the second episode, which had a couple of, you know, bigger matches than you normally get. Well, think about it. You know, you got 2 hours worth of prime time. You're just taking the somewhat meaningful matches and putting them down into 1 hour, and you're taping every 3 weeks so you can tailor what you're doing to keep up with what's going on. And if they hadn't had the Raw tapings, they would have kind of been, you know, they might have been stuck a little bit with Flair about to leave. But here they're able to work, you know, Flair's probable departure in a storyline.
Tito's a house of fire right now. Damn.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's ready. He's, you know, he's, I don't, yeah, they pre-taped this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So actually, I don't remember. I think I want to say that this one was the live one and the next week's show was the pre-tape. Yeah, that sounds more likely. Yeah.
Oh, date wise, yeah, that would work out. Yeah.
Yeah. The first, oh, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. The first one's live, and the second one's taped.
Right.
The old poke in the eye.
Yep, that's Ric Flair. And this is, yeah, and we're at the point where Ric Flair, you know, this is the second half of his career, but he still looks like Ric Flair, still wrestles like Ric Flair. He's, you know. He's good enough that he eventually got pushed right back to the top of WCW.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yep. And you know, it hasn't been that long since he's been held the WWF title. Maybe a couple, 2-3 months at this point. There we go. We've already had earlier on the program, Mr. Perfect's won a match. So, you know, and is. And they've referenced the issue between Perfect and Flair because, you know, they've been facing off at the house shows.
And of course, Flair keeps bad-mouthing Macho Man, and Macho Man had something to say back to Flair. Of course, you got to keep that going.
That's true. I mean, they had their feud in 92, and they both end up in WCW in 95 and 96, and it's kind of the same feud all over again.
Yeah, basically, yeah, especially with Miss Elizabeth being right in the middle.
Yeah.
Obviously, a little bit of a different turn where she actually did turn heel and she did screw the Macho Man.
Which added something to it.
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of like the precursor for the NWO getting some popularity. I mean, Flair Savage, it was getting some ratings there for WCW. I mean, they had, you know, the title change on Nitro and stuff. There was definitely starting to get some heat behind that angle for sure.
I remember my friends and I went to a house show 1992 in Augusta, Georgia, and saw Flair and Savage. And 3 years later, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina with some of my same buddies, and we're watching Flair and Savage and at a house show, and it's kind of almost move for move, I'm gonna say.
They're not gonna deviate from the
it worked, yeah. You know, but that they were, I mean, they had wrestled each other so many times at that point, though. They got in, you know, they had a flow going.
Oh, no doubt about it. Wow, what a bump to the floor by Flair.
Yeah. And Flair is just not, you know, he's not slacking on the way out.
No, he's not mailing it in at all. And Tito is a house of fire in this match. He is great.
And Flair saw this as an opportunity, you know, get this, you know, get some of these matches out before the people.
Was it weird for you being the traditional NWA fan, seeing Nature Boy in WWF?
It was weird. You know, didn't like it, but they, I mean, for Vince McMahon, they did pretty well by Ric Flair. And it was one of those things where you saw the end of 91 coming and you saw the Royal Rumble's going to be in the title and you start thinking, okay, this is how they're going to put the belt on Flair. There he is, Mr. Perfect.
Oh, whoa, what's he doing? Oh, get out of there.
Oh, no. And Mr. Perfect's after Ric Flair.
They are laying it in.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, They're buddies. I mean, they, you know, they're buddies. They've been looking forward to working together. And this is getting cut short, but they're going to, you know, I mean, this is their last night where they get to do this with each other for several years.
Yes, until WCW, where they feud again.
Right. And I mean, the whole thing, the feud with Flair and Heenan made Mr. Perfect a babyface, where, you know, it would have taken a while otherwise. It's probably the only way they could have done it that quickly. And they're backstage at the Manhattan Center, having flashbacks to the Slammy Awards in the 80s.
With that great curtain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get Tito back there, too. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Yeah, there's more. Stay with us. And yes, it's worth noting that both Perfect and Flair are set for the Royal Rumble, which is 6 days after this. Okay. They come back from commercial, and we're still waiting. Oh, no, they're still trying to pull them apart.
Oh, the crowd's going crazy there.
Yep.
Did you notice that Pat Patterson took a nice little bump earlier when Flair tossed him out of the way?
Yep. Like Pat Patterson, he sort of thing he loved doing.
Yeah, he's dying to take that bump.
Yeah.
Oh, they're separating. Oh, shit. Flair face to face with Vince right now.
Yeah. Vince knows what to do. Hold the microphone.
He's got some great facial expressions, Vince.
Oh, yeah. He's Ric Flair. He wants Mr. Perfect in the ring next week. Yeah.
Overall, you think that Flair's run in the WWF was a success, or headed towards a downturn in WWF?
It was a success for him because he could come back and say, okay, I did it. I went, you know, you guys said I was washed up. I went up to the WWF. I was champion 2 times. I headlined WrestleMania, you know. I did it. I've proven everything I have to prove. Yeah. Of course, Flair's got his insecurities, so that wasn't everything he had to prove.
Right. It was a pretty good run overall. I'm just a little bit upset that we didn't get Hogan Flair at WrestleMania 8, but
we got more than enough Hogan Flair after that, though.
Yes. Oh, yes. But Savage Flair was the better match and the better program. And definitely the better match.
For Flair and Hogan had to step away. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm sure that was the original idea. All right. So now what's going on here? Oh, here comes Mr. Perfect.
Vince is like, what the hell is going on?
Wait a minute.
What are you doing out here?
Did you just like walk past him on the way here?
Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah,
that is funny to think that people in 1993 were like, oh, Flair's old, he's washed up. And even Tito, you know, 93, oh, he's old and washed up.
Yeah.
Like, man. Like,
boy, just wait, fellas. You're going to see, you know. Yeah.
As Kevin Sullivan always likes to say, Jim Herd said Flair was washed up in 1989. And boy, was he wrong.
Yeah, he was. Just a little bit. That's it. And he's saying that he and Flair are the two greatest athletes in the WWF. Here we go. It's career versus career. I mean, the career versus career stipulation only lasted, 8 years? I mean, you know, that's really not a career. You know?
Yes, yes.
But I think given the average length of a wrestling stipulation, I think that's more than enough.
Yeah, those things don't ever really stick.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and not to be outdone, I think Randy Savage is going to challenge the Repo Man for the next episode of Raw. So,
I love it. You get Perfect Flair, you know, the build, and then Macho Repo Man.
The Repo Man has Randy Savage's hat, and he's towing Rob Bartlett's car. That's the punchline.
What a cliffhanger! We gotta go.
Rob lives in New York City. There's no way he has an SUV. All right, but that's okay. But that's the story. We're as the Rumble starts, we are one night away from either Perfect or Flair leaving. So that, I mean, so that's hanging, that's sort of hanging over our heads there. Let's go. Okay. We're going to get to, we're going to get to the 93 Rumble. Let me go ahead and find it. It's got to be up here somewhere under pay-per-views or something. And while we float through that, we might as well start talking about the 93 Rumble. 16,000 in the building. There is a dark match for the Rumble. The dark match is Doink the Clown defeating Jim Powers by submission. Yay.
Nice.
Yep. Well,
Jim Powers, a 10-year mainstay for the WWF.
Jim Powers, one half of the Young Stallions, who at that point really aren't young anymore. But yes. Indeed. All right. Meanwhile, the previous WWF show, well, you know, they tend now to take time off before the major pay-per-views, but not this time. January 23rd, Saturday afternoon, they did a matinee show in Reno, Nevada, where they drew what's described as 2,000 plus to see Mr. Perfect pin Ric Flair and to see the Intercontinental Champion Shawn Michaels pin Marty Jannetty, which is awfully convenient given what we're about to see. I did not know this, but I'm assured that Marty Jannetty said that his match on Friday, January 22nd, 1993, against Shawn Michaels in Denver was his best match ever. Unfortunately, I don't think the tape of that exists, but you know, you're trusting the memory of Marty Jannetty here, folks.
I was going to say, great recall by Marty Jannetty, but then I realized it's Marty Jannetty.
Yes. I'd never tell you about the guy time I killed a guy in a bowling alley. No, Marty, I wish you wouldn't. Yeah, that was not good.
That was the best. And then he said it was a storyline. Like, storyline with who? Who is it? Made no sense. What a mess.
Yeah, that storyline with the police, I guess. I don't know. More on Marty Jannetty later. WCW is running a show on Sunday. They're in Baltimore. 4,000 people in attendance. As part of getting to Baltimore, they put children's tickets were on sale for $2 in 1993. I think that's still a deal though. And on that show, it was Vader, the WCW World Heavyweight Champion. I think he's still the NWA now. No, he's WCW champion. Vader beats Sting by disqualification, and then we have in the
probably
main event
really
Barry Windham teams with the Hollywood Blondes to defeat Ricky Steamboat, Shane Douglas, and Dustin Rhodes in an elimination match. So that's probably a good match.
Wow. Really good. Damn.
Yep. I know. I'm impressed. All right. Also going on, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is in Shenandoah, Virginia. I spent most of my life in Virginia. I have no idea where that is. I know where the Shenandoah is, but that's a big area. Anyway, Shenandoah, Virginia, 500 people turn out to see, Tracy Smothers beats the Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony in a non-title match. The Rock and Roll Express beat the Heavenly Bodies in a non-title match. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, ECW and the WWA, another Philadelphia area promotion, run by Dennis Coraluzzo, do a joint show in front of 670 people. On that show, it was the Sandman, the ECW champion, against the WWA champion, the Spider, Glenn Ruth. Yes, that Glenn Ruth, one half of the Headbangers. And the match ended when Todd Gordon and Dennis Coraluzzo got into a fight, and it was declared a no contest. In the actual main event, it was a Texas Death I Quit match, which is that's an interesting way to do it. Just take two stipulation matches and smush them together like that. Terry Funk defeats Eddie Gilbert.
Oh, that sounds like it would be pretty good.
Yeah, I think that would. I think that's probably a good one. I don't know which tape traders have that one. The USWA is running the USWA TV show on Saturday in Memphis. They do the quarterfinals of the USWA Tag Team Title Tournament, a tournament which had to happen because Moondog Spike quit the USWA. I'm not sure of all the details, but I'm going to guess it was over money.
Usually is in Memphis, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, so on that TV show, it is Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett advancing to the semifinals, defeating the Masters of Terror. I don't know who the Masters of Terror are. I believe they're wearing masks, though. And the team of Brian Christopher and Mike Miller defeat Doug Gilbert and Tony DiNucci to move on to the semifinals. So they got that going for them, which is nice. Global Wrestling They did a Friday night. They did their Friday night show in Dallas at the Sportatorium. 2,000 people in attendance, mostly free at that point. On the card, the British Bad Breed defeat the Ebony Experience by disqualification. The British Bad Breed, John R.
Man, damn! I'm trying to remember. I don't even know. I'm trying to think back to my global watching days.
They are Axel and Ian Rotten, who apparently at the time they were British, which had to be news to them, I think. And do you remember who the Ebony Experience was?
Yes, Harlem Heat, Booker T, and Stevie Ray.
Yep, there you go. I mean, that, for a free show, that's okay. And in the main event, Chris Adams and Black Bart fight through a double countout, as they do. Let's see. All Japan has a Sunday show in Numazu. I guess that's the name of the drawing, 3,200. On that show, Stan Hansen and Johnny Ace defeat the team of Steve Dr. Death Williams and Barry Horowitz.
Wow. Damn.
I didn't know that Barry Horowitz had worked All Japan, but there he is in 1993.
I thought you were going to say Bam Bam Gordy. Damn.
No, but in the main event, it's Mitsuhara Misawa and Toshiaki Kawada defeating Terry Gordy and Johnny Smith.
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah, Doc and Gordy, who were literally all over the world as a tag team in 92, are working separate tag teams in All Japan in 93.
And one with Barry Horowitz and the other one with
Barry Horowitz, yes.
Yeah.
he was Barry the Winner Horowitz at that point, I think, going back to global. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah, the wrestling news at that time. Well, let's see. From the pages of the Wrestling Observer and the Pro Wrestling Torch, WCW announced the signing of Davey Boy Smith on January 19th, which didn't make a lot of headlines in the United States, but got a lot of publicity in the UK, which is good because WCW was planning to tour the UK. Meltzer points out that the TV ratings are up for the major shows. The Raw that we just saw with Tito Santana and Ric Flair drew a 2.8. WCW Saturday Night with the finals of the United States title tournament drew a 2.6. However, Meltzer points out, even though they're up from previous weeks, the wrestling on TV is doing worse than it was in January of 92. And also in the news and from Texas, Kerry Von Erich is arrested on drug charges on January 13th. This could be problematic because Kerry is already on 10 years probation from a previous arrest for forging prescriptions.
What a mess.
1993, not a good year for the Von Erich family. Spoilers, but yeah.
Yep.
All right. So on that note, are we ready to start the Rumble?
We are ready.
January 24th, 1993. I forgot to do the part where we have to wade through the commercials, but indeed, that's what we're going to do. Oh, wait, hold on. I think I started early. Okay, 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and okay, I'm at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. I have a black screen. John?
Hold on 1 second. For some reason, it just froze off. I don't know why, but it is WWE coming Network, back on. Yeah, I feel like the network slacking.
However, John, I can assure you that all these technical glitches will be cleared up when this network moves over to Peacock and is controlled by NBC in just a few weeks.
I'm going to have to doubt that. I'm going to have to doubt that one.
I mean, certainly a big company like Comcast Universal wouldn't, even though they don't know about wrestling per se, they could figure out the technology to make this work, right?
God, I hope so, because if you can't start from the beginning, if you have to watch from the middle, not going to be good for the fans.
And I'm sure they're ready to stream WrestleMania.
Oh, they're not ready at all.
I think that's why they're insisting on doing Fastlane this year so they can have practice,
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, well, all right. So let me know when you get to the start here.
Yep, I am ready.
People, you do the same. All right, everybody, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. The biggest wrestling show in the history of Sacramento, California is on now. All right. And you get Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan for this. The last time they do the Rumble together, in fact.
Yes. Yep. Pretty amazing.
That's the, yep.
Basically their last big show together.
Well, no, I think they, well, no, I don't know. Gorilla wasn't part of WrestleMania 9 as an announcer, was he?
No, Jim Ross.
That was Jim Ross's job, yeah.
Yep. Gorilla like kicks it to him, basically. I don't think Gorilla was feeling that great.
Yeah. Or no, he wasn't. Gorilla has a few rough years there at the end, unfortunately.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna forget the intro. We're just gonna go to the first match. Here they are, Bo and Blake Beverly, aka aka Wayne
Devastation
Bloom,
Incorporated.
Mike Enos of the Destruction Crew, yes.
Sorry, Destruction.
Yes, the Destruction Crew, who actually feuded with the Steiners briefly in WCW in 1990, but that's another story. When management of WCW decided it was a bad idea to let Ole Anderson anywhere near the ring for a wrestling match, and since the AWA was doing nothing at the time, the Destruction Crew came in under masks as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew 2. So it didn't go all that well.
Didn't last long either.
And I'm pretty sure this is the first WWF pay-per-view for Rick and Scott Steiner.
Yes, you are correct, because they debut earlier in the year, basically on house shows and then on Raw, and then this is their first pay-per-view. So this is the big debut, if you will, for Rick and Scott.
The coming out party, yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's the coming out party for Lex Luger, obviously. So this is, this is a big splash for these guys.
Feels like a little bit of a WCW invasion. I know Flair's on his way out, but he's there at this point. You got Luger come in, you got the Steiner brothers.
You'd think they could have done something there, but all right, here we go.
I don't know if Vince was ever fully invested in tag team wrestling.
No, he wasn't. That's that's something that's been discussed. Didn't take it as seriously as his father did. Fans, WWF fans were happy to see the Steiner brothers. You put a few TV squashes on them. You show Scott Steiner hitting the Frankensteiner on people. They're going to be impressed. Yep. Your referee is Bill Alfonso, by the way, John.
Oh, good call. Yeah, I didn't even notice that at first. Yes.
Fonzie's there. He's got the tights.
Call right down the middle, Daddy.
Okay.
Was it weird for you to see the Steiner brothers in the WWF?
Yes, it was. It was. But, I mean, there's a good reason for it. Bill Watts is in there. Bill Watts's job is given to him by the head honchos and Turner is to cut costs. And, suddenly it goes from everybody getting big raises when Kip Fry was running things, we're not sure we need you full time. We're not sure you should be getting a long-term contract. And, Bill Watts also wanted to split up the Steiners and make Scott Steiner a major single star, which is not the first time that had happened. And the Steiners wanted to work together.
And Scotty and Watts, for whatever reason, never saw eye to eye together.
No, they didn't. And Scott's kind of he's kind of determined. He's very stubborn.
He'd be volatile.
Yeah, well, volatile comes later, but yeah. I mean, he doesn't even really look the same in 93 as he does, as he did 10 years later.
Right, his big Papa Pump.
Yeah.
Bit of a makeover. But man, around this time period, he's got to be, if not the best athlete, one of the best athletes in wrestling. He was just such a freak, being that big and that athletic, and literally, going from throwing Vader around in WCW, then he could do a Frankenstein. I mean, just an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't hard to figure out what WCW was thinking the times they tried to make Scott Steiner into a single star, but the Steiners were, they wanted to be a tag team. They were together in the same promotion. Their act was, WCW was a promotion that loved tag team wrestling at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think what ended up happening is, you have the Steiners as a team and they can occasionally do singles things together or when one of them is injured, like Rick Steiner feuding with Luger in late 91, you knew what was going to kind of how it was going to end up, but it was still fun.
Yep. And they had some good matches, of course.
All right. So the Beverly Brothers do not have the genius Lenny Poffo with them, which is a shame. I think
that was a good pairing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Beverly Brothers were another team that I don't know what Vince didn't see in them, but they, you know. Yeah, but I mean, they're supposed to be the Valiant Brothers.
Yes.
They're supposed to be the 90s knockoff of that. That was the goal, but never, you know. I mean, neither of them, Jimmy Valiant and Johnny Valiant could talk, and I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that Wayne and Mike couldn't, but they weren't given that much of an opportunity.
Yeah, I can't remember them having really any mic time in WWF.
Plus, they've never distinguished the characters other than one. Yep. One of them has a mustache, the other one doesn't.
Yep. They never really got a push. You know, they never really got all that stuff. I mean, it's like they'd feud with the Bushwhackers or something. It was never really something top of the card worthy or even attempting to be top of the card. They were always kind of hovering around that mid card.
As we talked about with Bob Cook last week, it felt like near the end of the Beverly's run, they were in that best of 100 series with the Bushwhackers. And, you know, the Bushwhackers, obviously, you know, very well known team, Hall of Fame team. But if you're feuding with them, you're near the bottom of the tag team ranks. Because the Bushwhackers never really got, you know, treated that way as stars.
Yes. Yep. Not in WWF. Yep. Now, is this Bob Cook, the WCW superstar, the Florida legend?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. Nice.
If you missed it, we had the past 2 weeks, we did WWF's March to WrestleMania 9 special with Bob Cook there and got to cover some fun stuff, including I did not know this at the time. When they made that March to WrestleMania 9 special, there was a while where they really thought it was going to air live on Fox. Apparently, Fox didn't think so. So, but that's which is why they ended up putting it on the USA Network. But. Yeah.
A lot of good footage on there.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you know, you don't get to see many Undertaker versus Bam Bam matches or, well, the Beverly's teaming with Little Louie, that might not be one that they are particularly fond of. I don't know.
It's weird that Bam Bam isn't on, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later if we get to the Boss Man Bam Bam match, but surprised he's not on WrestleMania 9, just given where he was.
He was on WrestleMania 9, but he was supposed to fight Kamal, and that got pulled for time.
Yes, yeah. But it just stinks that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the match that gets pulled. Like, the infamous Bulldog and Berserker, it's always like, oh, man, it kind of stinks. Bulldog didn't get it to the WrestleMania 8 card, so it's like, oh, it stinks that Bam Bam, not a part of WrestleMania 9.
Now, I mean, I think starting with WrestleMania 10, if they had a match that got pulled from Mania, they'd just put it on Raw the next night.
Yeah, yep, that big 10-man.
Perfect sense, yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, but they didn't do that. Well, they'd already pre-taped the night after Raw, after the Rumble, so.
Yep.
Yeah. You think they'd get around to Kamala and Bam Bam?
Yeah, it's a damn shame, Bam Bam at that point, too. Getting a little bit of a push. Yeah, wrestling Undertaker, you had a little bit of a feud with Brad, goes into King of Ring Finals.
Yep, and then 95, they were serious about pushing him, and for some reason he rubbed people the wrong way, like the Click, for example.
And then his push was killed.
Yes. I mean, he also had issues, but a lot of wrestlers in that era did. So.
Yes. Yes.
No, not the choke with the ropes.
Oh, the tag rope.
Yeah, there you go. But it works, right? And, you know, I mean, as bad as business was for the WWF relative to a few years previous, this is a large crowd. Matter of fact, Dave Meltzer pointed out in The Observer that, you know, a lot of the reaction that, you know, he wasn't at that show live, but the reaction from his friends that were is they didn't like it live. But if they went back and watched the tape, they were amazed at how much, you know. It didn't sound like the crowd sounded more excited. You could see what was going on with an angle that takes place during the Rumble. They thought it came off better on pay-per-view than it did live.
I could see that. And all the right. Buy rate for this show is actually pretty good.
It's good by modern standards. As is pointed out, it's lower than the buy rate for the 92 Survivor Series. The buy rates are dropping, but a lot of that is the pay-per-view audience is growing. So, Yeah, more. There's more people with access to it.
Right.
But yeah, it's not. I mean, by modern standards, sure, you have $1.2 million, $1.3 million. Yeah, you'd love that. But it's not. It's not the golden goose. You know, there's discovering pay per view is not the golden goose anymore.
Plus, you know, no Hogan. Could that affect, you know, some buy rates? I know they didn't have him for a few pay-per-views in a row, but I wonder if that's a little bit of a problem. Because, you know, anytime you get Hogan on there, you're going to get a little bit extra.
Yeah. They don't have Hogan. The word is that, you know, they're going to bring in Hogan in February and see how that goes. And, yeah. And that did happen, so. Yeah, but, yeah, this is Scott Steiner taking the heat here. And that's a little different. Oh, there you go. Very nice.
Man, he could pull a suplex out of anywhere. If you just...
Oh, yeah. And just the raw power alone is, you know, just it's frightening.
And Bloom is not a small guy. He just made it look very, very easy. I know he's selling it, but he made it look easy.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh, there's the hot tag to Rick Steiner. Yes. And it's time to start throwing punches and clotheslines, kids. Oh, hey, there we go.
Whoa, huge back body drop.
One of those things you don't see much of anymore. Oh,
holy.
There's something I don't think he wanted to see. Ow.
Wow.
That could have gone horribly wrong.
Wow, release German suplex, man. Right on his neck. Holy crap.
Oh, all right.
Man, he launched him. Damn.
Jeez, Wayne Bloom.
Yes, oh.
Heck of a bump Mike Enos takes from there. That's something. All right. Rick Steiner clears out. Mike Enos makes a save. Or Bo Beverly, I guess. Is that a tag? Sure. Why not? Let's call it a tag.
Steiner brothers are getting very aggressive here with the Beverly brothers right now.
Yeah, but that's 2-on-1. Oh, are they going for they're going to go for the doomsday device? Really? I'd be impressed. Oh.
Well, what a roll up. Wow, that was good.
You mean it's that easy to counter the doomsday device? I wonder why more people didn't do that.
Not as athletic as Scott Steiner, why.
Well, they're not. No. Oh!
Oh!
Right on his head.
And they're holy.
Oh. Yeah. Fans love it.
That's what the Steiner brothers are.
So if you're keeping score, Wayne Bloom gets thrown on the back of his neck and Mike Enos gets dropped on his head. Steiner brothers, ladies and gentlemen. Another day at the office for them.
Man, that was an explosive Frankensteiner. Damn, he spiked him. Love it.
Yeah. Oh, then Bobby Heenan gets the telestrator out.
Brain scan, yeah.
Brain scan, yes. All right.
Does Rick Steiner throw the greatest clothesline of all time?
It's right up there. Especially when guys sell for it like that. Yeah. So Heenan says, yep, they had him too far back. Which is
Heenan's right.
To say the least, yeah. They don't call him the brain for nothing, kids. There we go.
Steiner brothers do have quite a string of good pay-per-view matches for WWF.
Yeah. I think people were expecting a lot for the WrestleMania match with the head shrinkers, and it was disappointing, probably because they didn't get as much time as they would have in a WCW pay-per-view match.
Fine, yep.
All right, here we go. This is the moment we've all been waiting for, kids. The battle for the Intercontinental title. Waiting over a year for the Marty Jannetty Shawn Michaels fight, I think. Yep, and here's the history of the Rockers.
Jannetty was probably fired a few times between then.
Well, yeah.
I believe he holds the record for being fired the most by the WWF.
Yeah, he's the Steve Howe of the WWF, yes. that's a very old reference, but baseball fans will get it. Oh, there we go.
I actually have a Steve Howe autograph.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
They make up on the, yes, they're feuding with each other, but they make up on the barbershop with Brutus Beefcake, the interview show. And there we go. Sean's ready. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, what a super kick.
That's a nice sales job there. Now what comes next is better, of course.
Yep. One of the most epic and memorable moments in WWF history, for sure. Yep. Yeah. Throw them right through the glass window.
Also led to one of the best signs in the history of the Pro Wrestling Torch eFed. One of the best shirts ever, the I'm Sean, you're Marty t-shirt. But anyway, yeah, here we go. And here's what, there's Sherry, there's Sean, and there's Marty's back. Hi, Marty.
Great camera work. That was so, this was great.
Yeah.
He's fired up.
All right, he's firing up, buddy. Oh. All right. Yep. Michael's taking all the crazy bumps. There we go.
It's kind of insulting if you say, oh, you're the Marty Jannetty of the team, you know? It's kind
yes,
of insulting.
That is, that's the idea, yes. No, no. Oh, Sherry.
Even though I was more of a Jannetty guy myself. I always liked Jannetty.
It's not like Jannetty wasn't talented.
No, he was great. Yeah, he had his demons.
He got his GNR shirt on. As one
oh,
does.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Yep. Uh-oh, Sherry. No, Sherry, get out of the way.
Oh, Sherry, get out of the way. Oh.
Oh.
Sherry is such a champ. Oh.
And Michael got the hell out of there.
Yep.
What a heel.
I know. And here we go. There's some... Yes. So they are tearing it up around the horn, at least they have been in the month of January 93. And Sherry's back. She's a little wobbly, but she's back.
I was going to say, she looks a little confused.
Yeah. Yeah, she's also got her demons going on in 93.
No doubt. Did you ever try Ico Pro, by the way, just to throw that out there?
I did not. I'm surprised they haven't tried putting it back on the market. Maybe they don't have access to the secret formula anymore. You'd think they'd at least have the Ico Pro shirts.
Yeah, you're right. They should. Oh. Somebody should bring that back.
Oh, and now Jannetty, look at that outfit. That's an outfit.
This is by far his worst outfit, by far.
That is something. This is one of those ones that Jeff Jarrett takes a look at and says, nah, that's too much.
It is awful.
Yep. But he's wearing the all white. Oh, mercy.
Yeah, that is one awful outfit. Yep.
Jeez.
I don't even think Beefcake would wear that.
No, he'd probably have cut it up already with the hedge clippers, but yeah. And usually, yeah. Yeah, when your outfit makes Shawn Michaels' outfit look understated, that's probably not what you're going for.
Yep. Yeah. The Heartbreak Kid.
Good.
Shawn Michaels.
Sure, you know. Okay.
Disgusted.
Yeah, I don't think that was a look of disgust.
Uh-oh. Look of lust, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
What did you think about this iteration of the IC belt that Michaels had on? It's like a greenish turquoise color.
Not the greenish turquoise I could have done without. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the belt. The belt
itself is great. Yeah, just like that background color is a little askew.
And his tan game is on, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
But I hope he never loses that magnificent head of hair, Sean.
It seems almost impossible that could ever happen.
No, that can't happen, yeah. And so Joey Morella, your referee? Come on, baby.
Yeah. No, she's not having it.
No, she's not. Nope. All right. All right, let's have the match.
He's got to get off his earrings. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is a great feud, but I feel like Sherry adds to the heightened, you know,
yes,
the nature of just
you
the
gotta
like,
throw
tension.
That little something extra in there, and that's what this is.
She adds to the tension.
Yes. Just like Sean's chaps add a little something extra, I guess. All right.
If you look at this card on paper, it's actually a pretty damn good card.
It is. And this is, yeah, this is one of the reasons why. All right.
Not to jump way ahead, but I would have had Macho Man win the Royal Rumble. That's just me. But
I'm not subscribing to any newsletters or anything at this point. I have no idea who's going to win the Rumble. I don't think Razor Ramon's going to win, but I didn't see a clear favorite going into this. And there
and
we go.
Definitely didn't think Yokozuna was going to win the Royal Rumble. Definitely.
No, it seemed too soon. He had just, he had just gotten his like first big pay-per-view win over Virgil. It doesn't seem,
Right.
I don't know. Do you go from Virgil to winning the Royal Rumble? I guess you do in this instance. Yeah. There we go.
No, to me, Brett, Macho Man. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to do babyface, but I thought.
Yeah, they just did. They just done Macho Man and Flair the previous year too. Yep. Yeah, I mean, maybe they didn't want, they wanted Brett to be his own man, but I think things changed at some point.
Would have liked to see like a passing of the torch from the one generation. I know he beat Flair, but
yeah,
I don't know, just a couple more veterans to beat there. Real passing of the torch to Brett. I mean, obviously, we thought we were going to get Hogan Brett at SummerSlam, or Brett at least thought so, but that was never going to happen.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, so, Sean's getting bounced around. Marty's on the offense.
Great bumper. Crowd loves it.
Mm-hmm. But...
Oh, Marty, whoa, what a move. Tope to the outside.
Making Marty look like making Marty look like $1 million. Look at those ladies are very concerned over Shawn Michaels.
They're loving Marty.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Whoa! What a sound! Turned him inside out with that.
Yep, Marty. Yep, this is all Jannetty here in the early going.
This crowd is hot. They're loving Marty.
Yeah, plus he looks better now that he has, some of that outfit off of him.
Yeah, as it starts to peel off, he's starting to look a little better.
Yep. There we go. Up, going up again.
Wow, to the top, all the way to the floor.
Oh. Sean caught him.
Yep.
You don't see exactly what happens from that angle, but,
That's why they call it high risk.
Yep, that is. All right, so Sean gets a breather, and he's back. Yeah, I mean, Sean and Marty, they had a bunch of good matches against each other.
Absolutely. They always had good chemistry. There's no doubt about it. Like, you knew they weren't going to have a bad match.
Right. But, you never really got the impression that Marty was going to come out of this as the bigger star.
No, never.
There's no reason why Marty. Well, there are several reasons why Marty didn't do better, but there's no reason he couldn't have become bigger out of this than he was.
Oh, look at his shoulder.
Yep. Oh no.
Ooh, looks like he popped it right out.
Right. So we've turned this completely around. Sean is in charge. Sherry is, He just says Sherry doesn't look happy. Okay.
Now Sean's going back on the attack, getting him back in the ring where he can finish him off.
I don't know. If you had a standard definition TV, you might think your vertical hold was off looking at these guys' outfits.
Oh, the shoulder breaker.
Yep, there you go. Oh, we could be getting a teardrop suplex here, in any moment.
Never quite liked that finish for HBK. Superkick is great.
Superkick ended up better, yeah. You want something you can use to hit big, you know, to hit bigger guys with.
Yeah, anybody, yep.
You're not going to get the Undertaker up for a teardrop suplex, for example.
Yeah.
All right, we're out on the floor.
A lot of this match is on the outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, big scoop slam on the outside.
Well, you're taking advantage of everything you have on the outside. You know that it's far enough away from the Rumble match that you don't have to worry about upstaging it.
Right.
So that's good.
Marty doing a hell of a sell job right now.
Yes, he is.
Did you think Michael's ready for the big time here, or you still think mid-card upper mid-carder?
He's the Intercontinental Champion? Mm-hmm. Well, he had just worked Bret Hart in the main event of the Survivor Series.
Yep.
So you're on notice that he's coming at some point. But, you know, you figure this is Bret Hart's company. He's got a few more guys to work through before we get back to anything with Shawn Michaels on top. But, yeah, I mean, Shawn Michaels is a guy, you know, he's doing well. You know he's going to be there at some point, but it's not now.
He is attacking that shoulder.
Right. I mean, imagine this idea where you pick a body part and you go after it and you go after it. That's crazy.
It's almost like somebody should be doing that today.
Yeah. Gorilla Monsoon, who doesn't get, you know, Gorilla Monsoon is pointing out that he's working over the shoulder. I mean, and Gorilla doesn't always pick up on that stuff on commentary. You know, if you're expecting like Michael Cole and Corey Graves to talk about the butt working over a body part, especially with all the other things that they have to read and talk about, I don't know.
Yeah, it's different these days with the announcers. Not even to blame the announcers. It's more on Vince and what he wants them to say and what he wants them to do. But yeah, they're not calling the match. They're quote unquote telling a story, but it's not really a story. They're really talking about everything else but the match.
And matches look different in, you know, in 93 than they do in 2020. 2021, actually, is what it is.
This
holds up. Don't get me wrong. But
I was going to say, I think, call me crazy, but I think this whole card, you know, looking at it, I think everything holds up. A lot of stuff from the 80s and the 90s holds up.
Yep.
If not most of it.
I think, if I remember correctly, that what a lot of people were critical of coming out of this show was the Rumble match itself. It wasn't this, that's for sure. It wasn't Brett and Scott Hall, which we're going to see next week.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like the Rumble itself started off a little hot. You know, you put Flair and Backlund in there. You got Perfect in there early. Then it totally tapered out.
Then it fizzled. And you didn't have the surge of guys at the end to pull it back up.
Kind of reminded me of 89 a bit when basically Hogan gets eliminated and obviously Savage was gone before that. But then it's like, okay, Stud returns, but he wasn't really. Yeah. So kind of tapers off, kind of same vibe.
Yeah, it did. But that was a story. They were setting up a story at the 89 Rumble,
mm-hmm.
which and they weren't locked into having the winner of the Rumble headline WrestleMania. So, right.
Yep, absolutely.
And this is the I don't think they mentioned it until they're on this show that the winner of the Rumble is going to headline WrestleMania,
which was definitely different.
Oh. Yeah, it was definitely different.
Eddie called.
All right, there we go. Yeah, people going crazy. People are going banana to
quote Pat Patterson.
Pat Patterson, yeah.
Right. Come on, Marty, get up.
Okay. All right.
Marty, come on, fire up, Marty.
Ooh. All right, they're both down. I don't know, Sherry's, she's thinking about it.
setting up some drama right here. Both men down. Yep. Sherry's yep. thinking about who she wants to support. Gotta love
right.
Gotta love old-fashioned storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get that long tracking shot there.
Great job, Kevin Dunn. I always love Jannetty's punches. Call me crazy. I know, just like the wild, crazy punches.
No, they're good. Up. Oh!
Damn it.
Mm.
Just as I'm getting into his comeback,
right.
Michael stifles it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, Sherry doesn't look alert out there, and that's. Yeah, I mean, she's not. You know, Miss Elizabeth would be, biting her fingernails and looking worried, and that's not
crying or something.
That's not what Sherry. Yeah, it's not what Sherry does. Oh, there we go. And he actually suplexes him out to the floor.
Wow, nice spot.
That's one you don't see back then.
These two are going all out.
What you doing? Oh, no. Yeah. She's emotionally overcome. Oh, there you go. Yep.
Oh. She always had, speaking of working punches, she always had a good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, she sucker punched HBK.
Oh, there we go. Belly to back. Oh.
Oh, so close. Two and a half.
That was a good one. They could have gone with that.
Might have been 2 3/4.
Oh, no.
Pat Patterson bump over the top. Actually, yep. Harley Race bump, more likely, but.
Yep. Sean always cribbed from the Masters, you know?
Yep, yep. Hey, that's what they say. Take a little from here, a little from there. Right
there, yep. You got your own style. Right. Here we go. Nope.
Marty.
I don't even remember if Marty had a finisher as a singles wrestler. Maybe the fist drop from the top rope.
Well, yeah, was he using the rocker dropper at this point? I don't think so. Oh, no, he was, wasn't he?
Nope. Nope, he moved.
There's a fist drop.
There we go. Hey. No. Aw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fist drop from the top, that kind of like a big DDT, the rocker dropper.
Yeah, Heenan's excited about this match. Oh, there we go.
Super kick. Nice.
And his own move. No. Oh.
Damn, I thought that was
going to be. That would have worked. That would have worked. If they were going that way. Yep. Up. Nope. Oh, nice. Okay, this is a tough spot. I've seen so many guys on the indies blow this spot.
Yep.
But it's Shawn Michaels, so that's not going to
happen. Yeah, he's not going to blow it. These two have such great chemistry. You can just see it.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, he nailed the ref.
Yeah. And I mean, this is, you know, and this is Sean, you know, he's selling, I didn't do that on purpose, but since we did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is he going for the stroke? Was Marty Jannetty going for the stroke?
It looked like it. He's got him in a full mouth.
Not the high-heeled shoe. Not the high-heeled lady's shoe. Oh.
Oh.
Do 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 do.
And Sherry hits the wrong man.
No, you don't understand, honey. Yeah.
Uh oh, what are we gonna see here? Is he gonna hit a woman? Don't hit a woman. What are you doing?
How dare you? Yes. What do you think this is? ECW? We don't do that here. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Michaels is like, Marty, where are you?
Marty, get me out of this. And here we go. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Whoa, that's what a bump.
That's a bump.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sherry realizes she cost Marty the match, and off she goes.
She's distraught.
Yes. Yep. Don't worry, Michael. This issue will continue. Shawn Michaels, ladies and gentlemen.
Bittersweet for Michaels. He loses the girl, but keeps the title.
Yeah. Oh, no. Gene Okerlund has to calm down Sherry. That's not the job you want. He's like, I won. So, hey, what's? Why are you getting distracted? Why are you getting distracted by this, Sean? Sean's gonna go after Sherry. That's not a smart move. Oh wait. Settle down, Sherry. Oh, there we go.
Oh, Jannetty's back.
It's not over yet. Pat Patterson's like, wait a minute, I got to do this again. Oh, Bruce? No, that's a Hebner. All right. We're keeping order here. Oh, my goodness.
Gorilla and Bobby, such a great team. Look at this.
I know.
Would you be serious?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Wow, you'll be serious. All right, this is where we're going to have to leave it for this week. And we are leaving it at, there we go. Stopping it at 37 minutes, 31 seconds. But you can see what's coming up next.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me. Biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSICUE-EPIQUE.com.
It is the battle of the bees. It's Bam Bam and the Big Boss Man, or the Big Boss Man and Bam Bam Bigelow. That's going to be where we start it next week when we give you hour two of this program. And I want to thank John Paz for being on there. John, if you have a moment, I don't know how long it would take for you to run down every show that you do, but if you can hit the high points here. I know you're very busy. You do this full time, and you have several podcasts that you work on.
Yes, I got a ton. Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, Take You to School with Dr. Tom Pritchard, Pro Wrestling 101, and the AEW Review Show, both with PJ Polacco, just incredible.
Now PJ, yes.
Yes. It's got Rick Bassman's Talking Tough. We have University of Dutch with Dutch Mantel. Dutch is the man. I do the Business of the Business podcast with Lavi Margolin. Yep. Also, do my own TMPT, the two-man power trip. I have two interview shows a week. My flagship show, and then I usually do a second feature show. So there is a ton of stuff. And of course, the Triple Threat podcast with Shane Douglas as well. So it's a lot of stuff.
Shane, yeah.
Maybe even some new stuff, but definitely follow all of my shows on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. And just want to mention also, I believe Shawn Michaels, I believe Marty Jannetty will be fired right after this show. So.
We would be getting to that, but yes, not right after the show, but pretty close, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, and visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. Also, don't forget to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your favorite pods are cast. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, the Beverly Brothers, Marty Jannetty, or Shawn Michaels, visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or check out your local library app, because they're all in books. John, do you remember the tagline for this? Or
join us next week, same way back time, same playback channel.
Very good, John. And hopefully we do have another guest host ready for next week. Hopefully we'll have Jim back as soon as possible. And we want all of you back too. Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/waybackplaybackpodcast. Our Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And that's about it. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.